Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we're speaking with Dr. Nuzma, and I wanted to have this show because there's been such misinformation and so much fear associated with our medical system over the past year. And this is a series of, it's becoming a series of shows about what we can do to take our power back and actually work with our body instead of against it. Because I firmly believe, and I've said it before, that I think the body is self-healing if you get out of the way, give it what it needs as building blocks so it can repair itself. And then we can actually be in a much better position. I don't subscribe to medication being the end-all be-all. And even though I've been trained in the classical way, I'm a surgeon, but I'm a thinker. And after being in practice for multiple years now, it's becoming really obvious that we need to start treating the problem and not just medicating the symptom. And Dr. Nuzma has a unique approach because he's not just talking about it. He's actually making a difference. And he is the CEO and chief toxicologist at Superior Toxicology and Wellness. It's an international scientific consulting firm. He's also the co-founder of Twin Oxide North America, which is a company working to improve water quality in all aspects of life, from municipal treatment plants to livestock operations. He's a member of the scientific advisory board for Vitro Biopharma, a firm that brings new stem cell-related products for diabetes research to scientific, pharmaceutical, and ultimately medical markets. He's also on the editorial staff for the peer-reviewed scientific journal Toxicology Mechanisms and Methods, published by Informa Healthcare. He earned his BS from Central Michigan University with a major in pre-med biology and a minor in chemistry. He went on to earn his PhD in pharmaceutical sciences from the University of Colorado School of Pharmacy and the Molecular Toxicology Environmental Health Sciences Program. The title of his dissertation is, I love the stereochemical aspects of 1,3-butadione metabolism in toxicology, or I should say in toxicity, I apologize. So this is somebody who can speak to the science of what we're dealing with in environmental toxins. And I think he's taken a valiant step in being the solution to correcting our problems with water. And I've read multiple things, Dr. Nuzma, about how water is going to become like the gold in the future. And we're seeing a lot of things about our water supply with all of these chemicals being inserted. Even some people talking about putting medication in the water supply in order to control the population and help our medical, help our health.
Isn't that crazy?
It is, isn't it? I'm kind of done with people trying to take our choices from us, and they always know what's best for us, but it doesn't seem to ever work out that way, does it?
No, it certainly doesn't. So, I certainly appreciate being asked to come on your show, Dr. George, and I appreciate that wonderful introduction. It just makes me wonder who you're talking about. My goodness.
I love it when you're humble, but you've put a lot of time into an effort into making a difference. And I love the fact that the show can find people like yourself who I think you're the best kept secret. And that's why we're here, so people can learn what you do and support it.
Absolutely. We'll see what we can, if we can get a couple points across in the next 40 minutes. And, I like to describe my way of thinking, my mantra, my marching orders, whatever you really want to call it, as finding new solutions to old problems. And when you talk about water, water is one of the oldest problems. Because if you think about it, every molecule of water is already formed and on the earth. And we're just recycling everything that's there. And just to put your listeners on edge right away, what do they say? That every glass of water that is drunk in New Orleans has been drunk seven times before? Just think about that.
I'm on edge just thinking about that, actually. It's kind of frightening.
Yeah, it's the principles of water, all water rolls downhill. So obviously, I live in Colorado on the Front Range, right north of Denver, and Colorado has some amazing water. It's not perfect because, as some people may know, in the mountains, there's a lot of mining. So you have metal runoff and you have tailings and stuff. And in Colorado in particular, the background level of uranium is just higher than other parts of the country. And the example that I just gave was from, you know, you start water in the Great Lakes, and as it's passing down through the Midwest and in the breadbasket of the country, the Mississippi River and such, that it's pulled out of the watershed and used for all the applications. Drinking is obviously a very common use for water. And as it's drunk by somebody and then goes out of them in the urine and to water treatment plants and then replaced back in the watershed, well, the next town down the river pulls that water out and repeats the process. And historically, there's been waterborne illness that has really devastated communities, just things like cholera and dysentery. But as science got better and the discovery of microbes and bacteria and viruses and how to kill them got better, they came up with different ways of purifying your water, the simplest of which is just boil it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kill just about everything in water by boiling, but that takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of resources and energy. So what's next? Well, chemical treatment. UV, that's sunlight, kills a lot of things. You know, that's by divine design that it just happens to be there. That's a great option. Chemical treatment. You know, chemical treatment can be things like chlorine or chloramines or chlorine dioxide or ozone or hydrogen peroxide. There's lots of them. You know, you Google water treatment and you're going to get volumes and volumes and volumes of what's going on. But the thing about that is there's disinfection byproducts. So let's go with the two main ones. It's chlorine and chloramines, and they basically they work about the same. They free up chlorine. Free chlorine is what does the job when it comes to killing microbes. Mm-hmm. And it's also what does the job when it comes to creating disinfection byproducts. So that's DBPs in the literature. But disinfection byproducts are referring to things like trihalomethane. And haloacetic acids. Those are big sciencey words. And what does that mean? Well, that means that if you think about your elements in the periodic table of elements, there's one row called halogens. You got chlorine, you got bromine, and a couple others. Well, those are the halogens. And in organic chemistry, those halogens are really good leaving groups. So basically what happens is the halogen is attached to some other chemical entity. And they're in the presence of this organic, which is in the water, could be anything, you know, sticks, twigs, bugs, crickets, moose poop, whatever it is, it's organic material. And when you have this chlorine attached to another molecule, comes into play with this organic, then the chlorine leaves the organic hanging on the hanging on with the rest of what was on that halogenated compound. So you have trihalomethanes, which means it's just a bunch of carbons and hydrogens with the halogen group somewhere in there. And you have a buildup of these disinfection byproducts. And those disinfection byproducts have been shown to be carcinogenic to humans over time. So in purifying water, the default method of using chlorine creates carcinogenic endpoints, carcinogenic entities, carcinogenic chemicals in the water that every single chemical plant sends out to every single house on a watershed system. So what we're doing is we're solving the microbial problem, but we're creating another problem that could hurt people over time. So we're getting a good bang for the buck right now so that people don't die in the first 2 weeks of some bacterial infection, but maybe they'll die in 50 years because of some carcinogenic response from their drinking water. Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense. And, you know, it's like we need to get out of our way and think. think about the long term. It's always this instant gratification.
But, and there's better ways.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that when we come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Joe Newsma. And before the break, you did a wonderful job of breaking down the good and the bad of water treatment. You know,
sure.
It's like it's hurting us in the long run, but I assume
possibly
that, technically it could.
Yes.
Do they look at that? I mean,
absolutely. There's regulatory limits for all of these things. So basically the government and all of their all-knowing capacity and benevolent feelings towards people's good health and wellness. Mm-hmm. I hope I got enough sarcasm in that comment for the listeners, but there are lines in the sand for disinfection byproducts, for the haloacetic acids, for the trihalomethanes, and you're supposedly fine if your level of disinfection byproducts is below that line. But now let's take a look at, I always look at toxicology as a whole picture approach. And people are living in a soup of toxic exposure. You're not just exposed to disinfection byproducts in your water. Mm-hmm. You're exposed to toxins in what you eat, toxins in what you breathe, toxins in where you live, toxins in where you work. Everywhere you go, there's different kinds of toxins. So you're exposed to an amalgam, a big melted mixture of toxic stuff. And the water disinfection byproducts are only one part of that. So if you can do it better and remove one toxic thing that you're exposed to on a daily basis, you're going to be better off. Mm-hmm. And you can do that with water. It's a product that I am the importer for North America, so Canada, United States, and the Caribbean, of a product called Twin Oxide. Now, you Google Twin Oxide, you'll probably find the international website. It's based out of the Netherlands, and it is a product that's a two-powder product that when you mix it into a certain volume of water, you get a concentrate of ultra-pure chlorine dioxide. That's ClO2. Chemically, you can't get free chlorine out of the chlorine dioxide. And because there's no free chlorine, there's no disinfection byproducts for it. When chlorine, gas or liquefied chlorine, which also can be called bleach in some senses of the words, are removed from the water purification stream and Twin Oxide is put into it, disinfection byproducts go to zero.
Wow.
We can completely remove the trihalomethanes and we can remove the vast majority of haloacetic acids. Definitely pushing them way down below their regulatory limits. So why doesn't everybody just jump on board and use chlorine dioxide as their preferred method for water purification? Well, chlorine's cheaper. And when you ask the engineers and the accountants who are in charge of the water purification plants, the story you hear is people don't care about their drinking water. As long as we're below these levels, everything is fine and dandy. Chlorine's cheaper. We're going to keep doing it that way. When you take it to the people mm-hmm. and you get a grassroots response, overwhelmingly the people say, oh yeah, we pay a little bit more for better water without carcinogens. Absolutely. 100%. Let's do it. How do we sign up? So that's the hard sell to get around the engineers and the bean counters. But there is a very good and equitable compromise, which we've just recently begun to get a lot of success. And I'm actually writing a paper on this right now, is that's the combination use of chlorine and chlorine dioxide. Use them together because they both retain their unique skills at disinfection and they work together synonymously to decrease your disinfection byproducts. And then the downside of chlorine dioxide is that when it loses one electron, it becomes something called chlorite. And chlorite is a disinfection byproduct that is also regulated and has a limit. Well, when you're using chlorine dioxide and you put in just a little bit of chlorine, that chlorine forces the chlorite to turn back into chlorine dioxide, which reverses, or it circulates the disinfection power of that combination, and you kill more microbes and generate less disinfection byproducts for both the chlorine, because you're using less, mm-hmm. and the chlorine dioxide, because the chloride is forced back to chlorine dioxide, that synonymous use of those two water disinfection agents is going to revolutionize the water purification market in the next 5 years. I guarantee it.
I hope
because
so.
I'm going to lead the charge.
Well, I hope so, because I mean, the argument of saving or people don't want to spend money is totally ridiculous when you talk about the healthcare costs of people on chronic medication, chronic diseases. Yeah. I mean, it's like a no-brainer. If you could stop people from having kidney failure or thyroid disease or whatever the issue is, I just can't
You're
imagine.
Right. You said it yourself in the introduction about you want to start treating and curing causes instead of medicating symptoms.
Absolutely. And there's a big groundswell. I think my patients are looking for that. They're not coming in anymore, for the most part, saying, just give me a medication to make me better. They want to fix the problem.
Yeah, I got a huge transition, which also still has to do with twin oxide. I'm going to tell you about the work of a PhD scientist in Europe that's been doing chlorine dioxide research for almost 20 years. And he has tested chlorine dioxide against COVID-19 with fabulous results. He's actually reported a 100% cure rate for COVID-19 in his patients. There's a couple countries over in South America and in Europe that have legislated chlorine dioxide to be the preferred treatment for COVID-19. And I am happy to provide that reference to any of your listeners. All you got to do is get in touch with me. I'll send you the paper. The bottom of page 3, top of page 4, Andreas Klacker talks about how much is needed for how long in humans to get a cure. It's not my work, but it's Andreas Klacker's, and he's got a whole slew of European physicians, like nearly 5,000 of them, mm-hmm. that are routinely and commonly employing chlorine dioxide against this little virus that's taken the world to its knees unnecessarily.
Oh, agreed. And you mentioned chlorite, right? There's a cleaning solution, hypochlorite, which I just purchased from our office. And it's effective against pretty much anything that you can think about, whether it's the resistant staph, coronavirus, herpes,
absolutely.
You name
it. It's an oxidizer. Chlorine dioxide is one of the world's best oxidizers, and chlorite, when it loses one electron, is still a very powerful oxidizer. And the fact of the matter is that because it's an oxidizer and it's not a poison, mm-hmm. like most antibiotics, these microbes do not develop resistance to chlorine dioxide or the chlorite type cleaners. And that's why they're so good. It's oxidation.
Well, if it's killing them, right, they don't have a chance to develop some sort of strategy because they're dead.
Exactly. What you're doing, I mean, the best non-sciencey way to talk about how it works is chlorine dioxide is like a dart that's just jabbing holes in membranes and proteins and enzymes and cellular machinery that is required for life. And what happens is that chlorine dioxide pokes enough holes that cell is no longer synonymous with life. Now, if somebody's really nerdy and wants to get into the science, it's in that Klacker article. After the intro, the entire results and discussion talks about the various mechanisms of how chlorine dioxide kills various bacteria and viruses, specifically down to the type of amino acid that gets oxidized and why that protein stops functioning. It's really a great article. And if you have the background to understand what these guys are saying, it's a phenomenal read. And it makes you say, how is this so far under the radar? How come people haven't said to these guys, let's bring this to the world?
Uh-huh.
I don't understand, but it's right there in black and white, published.
You know, I was doing my research on the hypochlorite, and what struck me was that it used this, almost the same mechanism as our natural killer cells do. I mean, it's like what your immune system uses to eradicate bacteria and viruses that it gets attacked by. And then the fact that it was non-toxic because it became saline, salt water, after it got metabolized. So you could use it on food. You could use it around your children. You can spray a pacifier. I was like, this is it for me. I mean, it's not toxic. It's not going to leave a residue. So I can imagine if something analogous to that is in the water supply, why wouldn't we use it, especially knowing all of these things that have been, all these illnesses exactly. that have been. So now that you have.
Let me give you a couple other little anecdotes about twin oxide. And it's, we have it in one community in Florida called Magnolia Village. It's right outside of Edgewater, Florida. And in the year 2016, that community won drinking water of the year for the whole state of Florida. Or maybe it was 2018. I think it was 2018. And I talked to the managers of the community on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And to their knowledge, there's not a single case of positive COVID, COVID viral infection in the community. And it's a 55 and over retirement community in Florida. And they run twin oxide as their sole disinfectant in the water supply.
That's incredible.
That's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Twin oxide is also registered organic. It's a spray on, leave on for food. So, you know, twin oxide can be used to spray your produce when you bring it home from the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Twin oxide can be used to clean your counters and your toilets and all of your hard surfaces and everything around your house. And it's just, that's what we have available to us.
You know,
and it's just, it's really under the radar.
Well, just imagine all the things that people have been using to clean their produce that leave a residue and it's toxic and you're trying to, you know, it's a no-brainer when you know that there's something natural, something organic, something that's not toxic, that actually gets the job done.
It turns into chlorides, turns into sodium chloride, table salt.
I have to ask this question. What about the hospitals? This is like ground zero for nosocomial or hospital-borne acquired infection. What's up with them?
There's a study out of Japan. I call it the Ogata study because that's the author's name. But what they showed in hospitals, when they use chlorine dioxide and release it as a gas, they can kill viruses at 0.03 parts per million in the air.
Gosh, that's incredible. So imagine all these hospitals.
And the bacteria takes less.
Wow.
And it's just, you can get it as a solution in a squirt bottle. You can blow it into the air. You can put it in. Andreas Klackers talks about oral use, topical use, and IV use of chlorine dioxide to cure COVID in his patients. And well, it's not his patients. He's a PhD, so he works with physicians. But he has been commenting on the practicality of chlorine dioxide for years and years and years. And one of the other hurdles when people will Google chlorine dioxide, they find the story of a compound called MMS, and that's Miracle Mineral Solutions. And basically, that is chlorine dioxide that's generated in a slightly different way. It's generated with sodium chlorite, which is the same starting material as twin oxide, but they acidify it with a different acid, either sulfuric acid or hydrochloric acid, and they make hypochlorous acid, which is exactly the same as the active ingredient in your Clorox bleach. So MMS is the whole origin of that, the political nightmare of the drinking bleach comments that were made in the last administration. And that MMS has been shown to do wonderful things all around the world. There was a guy who was very associated with some church out of the Midwest. I don't even know. But he went all over the world and cured all kinds of maladies for people that were in dire straits with this MMS and sold a ton of it. But the FDA came down on him and just destroyed his life because the FDA didn't want anything to do with hypochlorous acid and putting it in human bodies. Well, twin oxide is formed from sodium chlorite and sodium bisulfate, and its primary use is licensed for water purification. It can be in water up to 0.8 parts per million, and then you need to have a residual in your water supply of 0.05 so that the residual out in the distribution system is there so that in case it encounters any other pathogens that enter the watershed after the water treatment plant. So it's one of those things that they're similar, but also completely different. And the existence of twin oxide suffers because of a poor precedent with MMS. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm sure they're taking every advantage to stop it, you know, to conflate the two. On that note, let's take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Joe Newsma. And before the break, you really broke down for me, you know, I hate to put it, people have all sorts of things that they want to keep the status quo. There's always someone who stands to gain, and I'm always about follow the money. Because if it really were about helping people, this would be a no-brainer. Something has to be in this system that is helping something stay in power, keep their money train running. And
follow really, the money is a good policy to follow.
It never fails. But we have the
really,
power.
The glaring example of that is the fact that NIH and Dr. Fauci himself have large stakes in the Moderna vaccine for COVID-19.
I think,
is that a conflict of interest?
A little
bit. If you're
bit.
Up in front of the world saying, go get vaccinated, go get vaccinated, go get vaccinated, and put a quarter in my pocket every time they stick that in someone's arm?
I think it is too. But you know, it goes down to people working in the government being able to patent things. That should never have happened. If you're getting paid right. by the public, then you don't get a financial stake. You're getting a salary. So how could you...
And the patent should be owned by the public.
Thank you. So that set up the entire ball game for what we're dealing with. You know, you look at all these viruses that have come down the pipe for the last, 10 years or so, maybe more. They're all patented
all
by somebody.
All developed by NIH money, by the way.
And patented. You know, private concerns own Zika and all these other things. Yeah. And people don't know that, but they knew that.
The NIH, the labs, it's gain of function research. And that's basically a fancy term for teaching a virus to go from a monkey to a human or a bat to a human or a snake to a human. That research should never, let me repeat, never be done. And it was shut down on United States soil. So they took that whole gain of function research program and sent it to nowhere else but that lab in Wuhan, paid for by the NIH. Yeah. That is alarming in and of itself. But let's talk about these vaccines. I ran into an article yesterday that was actually put out by a guy that I subscribe to his independent news channel. The guy's name is Paul Craig Roberts. And he put out a clip by Leo Holman on May 4th, 2021. So it's pretty hot yesterday. And they're talking about the vaccine adverse effect reaction system, VAERS, that's put out by the CDC. And the fact of the matter is that nobody is saying anything about, everything's hush-hush, between December 14th and April 23rd. So not that long, 4 months. There's been 3,544 deaths attributed to vaccines. In the United States, there's only been 2,602 deaths. Now think about this. In a new drug, if they get 4 or 5 deaths, they get what's called a black box warning in their label. If they get up to 40 or 50 deaths, they shut that drug down. Here we have three drugs with 2,602 deaths in the United States. So you say, well, how many people have been vaccinated? It's got to be a percentage. It's got to be a rate. That's in 77 million people vaccinated. Let me give you the comparison signpost. The flu. The flu reports 20 to 30 deaths, not 2,600. 20 to 30 deaths in 195 million vaccinated. 20 to 30 in 195 million vaccinated is what the flu death is reported. And these COVID-19 vaccines, 2,600 deaths in the United States in 4 months, with only 77 million vaccinated. Nobody's saying anything about this, Dr. George.
If you extrapolate that out 12 months, that's a frightening number.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is everybody's saying, go get vaccinated, go get vaccinated, do the right thing for your neighbor. Every single one of these vaccines is being introduced to the public under what's called the emergency use authorization. Not a single one of these vaccines is, quote, approved by the FDA for use in humans. What does that mean? That means that everybody that gets any one of these vaccines, any one of the three, is willing participant in a medical experiment.
Agreed. It's what is at the trial, not the stage three, but it's the third round of this experiment. And you sign phase off three.
Drug development has three phases.
Right.
Phase one is, let's put it in very few people to make sure we don't outright kill people. Phase two is let's get some pharmacokinetics and efficacy studies to say that we know how it acts in the body and that it actually does what we want it to do. And then phase three is, let's increase it to thousands and thousands of people to see if there's any nuances that come out. It's kind of like when Merck did Vioxx. And they had those cardiac problems. So, or was it Celebrex? I don't remember which one it was. It was probably both.
They both.
But over time, those adverse effects get reported back to the drug company, and the FDA makes these drug companies pull these drugs off the market. That's not happening with these vaccines.
Is it because?
And there is zero liability of the drug companies.
Is it because it's emergency use authorization? Is that why it's a loophole that gets them a little bit more wiggle room and freedom?
That could very well be, and let's hope so. What I think it is that the people that are in charge, the people that have the microphones, the people that have the stage, have an agenda that they don't want any negative information getting out about a downside to what those folks want to have happen. That's what I think it is.
Well, I think we can see that in social media and all the censorship. And I'm a free thinking person. I'm willing to have a debate with anybody, but it says something to me that every time there's a counter argument, it gets shut down. What if you have the truth, then you shouldn't be afraid to have everybody question it. But that doesn't happen here. It gets doctors, patients, they just get scrubbed from the internet.
Under the rug.
Exactly.
Doctors have their licenses threatened. I actually talked to a physician after I did another show, another podcast, and this physician emailed me and we actually talked on the phone. He's an emergency room physician that moonlights in an elder care facility. And he's watched 45 of his patients in one elder care facility die within 2 weeks of taking that vaccine. That's crazy. And what he said is they watch patients for 15 minutes after the vaccination. If they're still alive after 15 minutes, it's not a vaccine-related death.
Think
about that.
Yeah, you're making the numbers. It's like using statistics in order to make your argument. Now I'm seeing things, and I've talked to patients who had friends who had a stroke after taking the vaccine, or I should say the shot.
Yeah, it takes longer than 15 minutes to mount a cytokine storm.
Exactly. And her doctor was saying there's no way that she had to literally fight in order for them to have this reported to VAERS because they were just not willing to say that it was the vaccine. I don't know if that's, just willful blindness or what.
I don't know what's driving it either, but it's just, there's an awful lot of mistrust for the government, and it's creeping into the medical community. And what I see happening in today's world is it's difficult to know what the good information is and what the misinformation is. And if you don't have the basis and training to separate the wheat from the chaff, you're screwed.
I
don't know what to believe.
I agree with that to a degree, but there's always a little voice in people.
Yep.
And a patient came to me yesterday and said, I'm not against vaccines, but it's not enough time that this has been out that they can tell me that it's safe. And I mean, that's a perfectly reasonable reason to ask a question. Nobody knows. It's not a long enough time. The whole pre-stage or the phase one and two, it's only 2 months that they tested
this. And
it's been
that way with every vaccine.
True.
Look at all the problems with the polio vaccine. Look at all the problems with the HPV vaccine. That's the human papillomavirus vaccine that they want to market that to both young boys and girls to prevent cervical cancer and other cancers later in life. And it's just, you know, I looked at that data and I talked it over with my wife, who is a PharmD pharmacist, and I'm a PhD toxicologist, and we have a beautiful daughter, 22 years old now, and a beautiful son, 20 years old now. And I convinced her that it's not worth the risk of that particular vaccine in the children. And that's the same thing I'm taking with this COVID-19 stuff. It's not worth the risk in my personal and professional opinion.
Well, if you're looking at the numbers where it's a 99.5 or 7% survival rate with no treatment. Now, if it were smallpox and everybody's keeling over, that's one thing. That's not what's going on. So we're taking something that's less mortality associated compared to the flu. And again, we talk about the internet putting things out and then disappearing. Did you see the article from Johns Hopkins that said the death rate, when you compared it to the year before and the year before, there was no increase in death?
So I did see that before it disappeared.
Yeah, it got wiped off in about a weekend.
Let me be frank here. Let's not speak light of COVID-19 because it is an illness. It is real. And if you happen to contract that virus, it can mess up your world. It absolutely can. You're going to have some symptoms. It can make you miserable for, you know, 2-3 days, a week, 2 weeks, depending upon how long you let that virus keep hold in your body. You know, you gotta do everything you can to decrease that viral count, the viral load, because your body's immune system is a wonderful gift from God that you need to allow it to take hold and fight for all it's worth. Because the more virus that's inside somebody, the worse the symptoms are, the longer it lasts. And that doesn't matter what virus it is. That could be COVID-19, that could be influenza, that could be HIV, that could be anything.
You're absolutely
right. That could be herpes virus.
You're right. It's
always the same thing. Always about viral load.
Well, let's take a break because I want to really tease apart what we can do. And there's a product that I want to speak about called C60. And I don't think people know about that. So let's take a break and come back and talk about what we can do to boost our own immune response when we come back. You're listening to Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Joe Newsma, and people need to go to his website, twinoxide-usa.net, to learn more about Twin Oxide. And there's another website, superiortoxicology.com. These are both websites that give information about what he's doing and also ways that you can, I think, advocate for yourself and your family and by talking to your local governments. And before the break, we were talking about how wonderful our immune system is. God made an amazing system that's able to be general in its ability to protect us and also specific if we get hit with things that we've seen before. And I personally have been taking a product called C60 Complete for a couple of years now. And I found it on the internet when I was looking for ways to help with an antioxidant, because I know oxidation. Yeah, you know, when we get under oxidative stress, it's a recipe to age faster and get sick. And I found this product and I've been a big believer in it personally. So can something like, first of all, what is an antioxidant and what is oxidative stress? Because I think that's the underpinning which triggers the rest of your body being set up to get ill, right?
Or old.
Old too.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. One of the worst flaws in the human body is that a side effect of breathing is releasing oxygen radicals. Oxygen radical is a fancy science term for a chemical structure that has a loose unpaired electron. So basically that loose unpaired electron acts just like chlorine dioxide. It's a dagger and it pokes holes in stuff, your membranes, your proteins, your enzymes, and that action of the oxygen radical poking holes in things is collectively known as oxidative stress. Every single day, our body creates millions of oxygen radicals. And our body has ways of fighting that Vitamin C is an antioxidant. An antioxidant finds those oxygen radicals and squelches that potential reaction. Glutathione is one of the poster children, a cellular defense that our body creates on a regular basis. And glutathione is a molecule that sucks up these oxygen radicals. Every cell in the body almost has its supply of glutathione. And the glutathione fights like crazy to keep the body healthy and well. Now, the thing about oxidative stress is it continues daily, every day, and the body fights it continuously, daily, every day. Over time, our repair enzymes, our oxidative stress fighting enzymes, get tired. They lose efficiency. And that's why over time you see things like gray hair, crow's feet at the eyes, wrinkles. All of those things are just signs of aging, but they happen because our DNA repair enzymes and our oxidative stress enzymes that protect us from all this stuff get a little less efficient as we age. Carbon 60 is the best antioxidant on the planet. Carbon 60 is a spherical conglomeration of 60 carbon molecules that makes up a figure that looks like a soccer ball. Glutathione fights these oxidative reactions biochemically. They need a couple cofactors and they need to load the defensive mechanism, and then they go out and they find their target and they grab it and they neutralize that reaction. Then they got to go back and reload. Carbon 60 is a chemical reaction. It's this big giant spheroid carbon molecule that picks up hydrogen molecules from its environment, and it can squelch 60 oxygen radicals to the one that glutathione can. And then once it does that, it just gives it a hydrogen atom and it picks up another one wherever it happens to be in the body. So it's a chemical reaction instead of a biochemical reaction. So it cycles a lot faster, and it just is absolutely fabulous at squelching that oxidative stress. So what does that do for the body? Well, when the body has extra resources like carbon 60 on board to fight the oxidative stress and get in front of it, the body then has the extra resources that it would normally use to fight that oxidative stress, and it can use those resources where it needs it to heal. And the body knows where it needs to heal, whether it's got liver problems or lung problems or heart problems or vision problems or blood vessel problems. That's where the body focuses. So when you give it the added resource to fight the everyday firefight against oxidative stress, the body's innate ability to heal kicks in and says, where do I need to fix first? And the fact about it is, with carbon 60, as hard as I've been looking, I have not found a toxic dose of carbon 60. So C60 Complete, and you can find it at c60complete.com, is carbon 60, which is actually formulated with two other very powerful natural products. It's formulated with black seed oil, and it's formulated with curcumin. And if you were to type carbon 60, black seed oil, and curcumin into the NIH database for research, you would instantly get over 25,000 hits of beneficial effects of those three products on the human body. They're organ protective, they're antibacterial, they're antiviral, they're anti-cancer, and they help with insulin resistance, they help with glucose recognition, they help with how your body processes sugars. All of this stuff is very well known to the Far Eastern practitioners that know their way around the natural products. I think the Western physician that's classically trained in some cases is a little arrogant because they ignore all of the wisdom of the Far Eastern natural products science that goes into things like black seed oil and curcumin. The Western physician that embraces that, that's the type of practitioner you want to find, because they think out of the box. They utilize these products like C60 and help their patients through natural products to regain their health and their wellness. And you can find out all about that C60 Complete at c60complete.com. It's put out by Live Longer Labs, and it's exclusively distributed by Pure Bella Vita. So if you find Pure Bella Vita, Live Longer Labs, or C60 Complete, you're going to find that product. Or if you go to my website at superiortoxicology.com, I also have a link to the C60 information. I was the first credentialed professional that wrote a white paper on why C60 is good and why it helps the body. I truly believe in it. I've been on it for years. My family's been on it. My 81-year-old mom and dad have been on it. And between twin oxide and carbon 60, they have not had a touch of illness in the last 2 years. My dad has some lung issues that he's developing lately. He's got some pulmonary fibrosis issues that we're trying to work through. But my mom just had her second knee replacement done. She wasn't on C60 for the first one. She was for the second one. She had less pain, less swelling, and she advanced through her physical therapy regimen a lot more quickly when she was on C60 Complete. So it's a product that I 100% absolutely believe in and think everybody should be on.
I can speak personally to it myself, and I'm a scientist as well, and what I read about it was, it was a no-brainer, since it was not toxic and since it was supercharging what the body does to heal itself. It was like, okay. And I stopped having pain. I stopped having, if you touch, I kind of a tenderness, like muscle tenderness, if you touch, that's gone. My knee stopped hurting. Actually, what's interesting, when my dad passed away, I became gray. And the hair that's grown back since I've been in C60 is black. So that actually let me know from a stress level that I had recovered from that insult. And, everybody's got something. And that one really took a toll on me. And I was able to recover from it. And I can actually physically see it. So in the age of COVID, to me, it's one of those tools that you really need to have in your toolbox so you can help your body literally recycle and help itself. Because everything we're being told is nothing you can do. You just have one option. And the option is, we just talked about, questionable.
Yeah, it's completely wrong in my opinion.
And so I think if people know they have an option and they have choices, I think that's one way to fight this fear. Is everybody's living in this yoke of fear, anxiety, and you can't think when all you know is, if I don't do it, I'm going to die. That's pretty much what they've instilled into people over the past year.
And that's got a negative feedback in and of itself, Dr.
Indeed,
George. I mean, the living in fear triggers cortisol, and that's one of the most destructive steroids to the human body.
It's true. You talk about sugar dysregulation and obesity and not being able to think clearly, and it's just... It's a
living in a haze is what I call it.
Yeah, negative feedback loop, no question. And, just putting these two things together, that's to me one of the most powerful weapons that you could actually take your power back from a health perspective. Let's say if you can't talk your devil's advocate, you can't talk your community, your municipal facility into doing the right thing. Can you somehow, if you have your own water system, can they contact you? Is there a way for people to do this without the help of the government?
I would say yes. Like I said, what I'm willing to do is I'll send you the paper by Andreas Klacker, and you can read the science yourself. And then it's just a matter of finding a source of chlorine dioxide. And twin oxide is exactly that.
So do you guys... Is it something that people can, if they contact your company, get it for their household or their community, like the community in Florida did? So, basically handle their own business.
Right. And in order to be in compliance with our labeling, we need to sell it to a business.
Okay.
And I do all the sales. I package the process and I send them out. We do a new customer setup. I send you a form. You tell me the name of the business and who's buying it, and I ship it out.
That's about as easy as it gets. So in the minute that we have left, give us the contact information so people can do what we just talked about.
Sure. You can find me at superiortoxicology.com. And you can find C60 Complete at c60complete.com. And you can find Twin Oxide at twinoxide-usa.com. www.nusma.com.
Dr. Nusma, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed our conversation. I think we touched on a lot of subjects that people don't know about, but need to know about. And I love your style because you just tell the facts. It's not drama filled. It's just the facts. And people who, we need to stop living in fear because that's what gets us into trouble.
I agree with you there 100%. I'm happy to come back if people want to talk about anything else.
Absolutely. And thank you again for joining me. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.